ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मधुरधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 8, बट वी विल ऑल्सो बी रीडिंग टेक्स्ट नंबर 7। सो आई जस्ट गो थ्रू टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 फर्स्ट। यदि दास्यसि मे कामान वरांस्त्वं वरदर्शभा कामानां हृदि असंरोहं भवतास्तु वृणे वरम्। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ माय लॉर्ड, बेस्ट ऑफ द गिवर्स ऑफ बेनेडिक्शन, इफ यू एट ऑल वॉन्ट टू बिस्टो अ डिजायरेबल बेनेडिक्शन अपॉन मी, देन आई प्रे फ्रॉम योर लॉर्डशिप दैट विद इन द कोर ऑफ माई हार्ट देर बी नो मटीरियल डिजायर्स। टेक्स्ट 8। सो दिस इज टूडेज वर्स। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। इंद्रियाणि मनः प्राण आत्मा धर्मो धृतिर् मति ह्रि श्रीश तेजः स्मृतिः सत्यं यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना। इन्द्रियाणि मना प्राणा इन्द्रियाणि मना प्राणा आत्मा धर्मो धृतिर्मतिः आत्मा धर्मो धृतिर्मतिः ह्रि श्री तेज स्मृति सत्यम् ह्रि श्री तेज स्मृति सत्यम् यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना। इन्द्रियाणि मनः प्राणा आत्मधर्मो धृतिर्मते हरि श्री तेज स्मृति सत्यम् यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना। इन्द्रियाणि मनः प्राणा आत्मा धर्मो धृतिर्मते हरि श्री तेज स्मृति सत्यम् यस्य नश्यन्ति जन्मना। प्लीज स्टैंड। इन्द्रियाणि मनः प्राणा आत्मधर्मो धृतिर्मति श्री श्री तेज स्मृति सत्यम् मदजी। ओके, प्लीज चैंट रिस्पॉन्सिबली। इंद्रियाणि द सेंसेस, मनः द माइंड, प्राणः द लाइफ एयर, आत्मा द बॉडी, धर्मः रिलिजन, धृतिः पेशेंस, मतिः इंटेलिजेंस, ह्रि शाइनेस, श्री ऑपुलेंस, तेजः स्ट्रेंथ, स्मृतिः मेमोरी, सत्यम ट्रूथफुलनेस, यस्य ऑफ विच लस्टी डिजायर्स, नश्यन्ति आर वैंक्विश्ड, जन्मना from the very beginning of birth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki. Translation. O my Lord, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are vanquished. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamam Arid Rogam, materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such desires that one must accept repeated birth and death. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, therefore, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Anya abhilashita means material desire, and shunyam means free from. The spirit soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatat bhakti rahetu ki tvai. Unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, however, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Anyabhilashita Shunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, and intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayavadi philosophers want to become impersonal, senseless, and mindless, but that is not possible. The living entity must be living, always existing with desires, ambitions, and so on. These should be purified, however, so that one can desire spiritually and be spiritually ambitious without material contamination. In every living entity, these propensities exist because he is a living entity. When materially contaminated, however, one is put into the hands of material misery, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. If one wants to stop repeated birth and death, one must take to the devotional service of the Lord. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatravartena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Om Jnanatimi Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वांछा कल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। प्लीज रिपीट द ट्रांसलेशन आफ्टर मी। ओ माई लॉर्ड, बिकॉज ऑफ लस्टी डिजायर्स फ्रॉम द वेरी बिगिनिंग ऑफ वन्स बर्थ, द फंक्शन ऑफ वन सेंसेस माइंड लाइफ बॉडी रिलीजन पेशेंस इंटेलिजेंस shyness, opulence, strength, memory and truthfulness are vanquished. So here this is chapter 10 of the 7th canto. This whole pastime is basically glorifying the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord Prahlad Maharaj. It's Prahlad Charitra that is being described. So this section we are currently reading and discussing about the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. We see that in the previous chapter, Prahlad Maharaj prays to Lord Narsingadev, and being satisfied and pleased by Prahlad's prayers, Lord Narsingadev, he gives up his anger and asks Prahlad for a benediction or a boon, vardhan. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives commentary in his Ararta Darshini. He says that the Lord is like a river of all goals that could be possibly desired by any human, any man. Whatever one can desire is there in the Lord, including liberation. So the Lord is saying, this is what is going on in the Lord's mind. He is telling Prahlad, whatever one can desire, I have, including liberation. What do you want? Ask for a benediction. And the Lord, he's thinking to himself, right, in his mind, this is what is going on. That after taking my darshan, nobody goes with unfulfilled desires. Nobody goes. So Prahlad, you ask something, whatever you like. Now Prahlad, he considers all these desires, all this offering, all these desires that the Lord is offering him to be impediments on the path of devotional service. Prahlad does not think highly of them. He thinks that the Lord is tempting me. The Lord is tempting me. And he tells the Lord that by nature I am attached. So do not lure me by giving me this option of so many material desires, so many benedictions. He says, I desire liberation from these desires. Prahlad, he has said in the previous verses that anybody who asks benedictions from the Lord is not a devotee, he is a merchant. And Prahlad says, who is that servant who is asking his master some benediction for the service that he is rendering? What kind of servant is this? And Prahlad is also saying, what kind of master is the one who is giving benediction so that he remains master? This is not a real master and servant. Prahlad explains that a real master is the one who is giving without expectation of service, and the real servant is the one who is serving without expectation of fulfillment of any desire. So Prahlad is praying to the Lord that, my dear Lord, our relationship should be like this, without expectation. It should be this pure relationship. It should not be the materialistic relationship of a mundane master and servant. So then Narsingadev, he is thinking, Prahlad, you ask something for my pleasure. So to that Prahlad, he replies that he is asked in the previous verses that I desire that no material desire grows in my heart. And then he comes to say this verse of today. He is saying that because these lusty desires which are present within one from the very beginning, one cannot be opulent, intelligent, patient, religious, because all the functions of his mind, body, intelligence, they are all vanquished. So Prahlad is actually trying to say that because of lusty desires, I cannot think of you. I cannot relish your sweetness. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives this commentary that Prahlad is thinking, if my mind goes astray from you because of these material desires, how can I relish your sweetness? So this is what Prahlad is actually praying. Prahlad is addressing Lord Narsingadev as the best of the givers of benedictions. So because Narsingadev is the best of the givers of benediction, surely the benediction that one should ask from Narsingadev should also be the best one, because he can give it. Shishi Radharas Bhari Bhavan ki, Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaur Ritai ki. So this reminds us of a story of Srila Sanatan Goswami. Once a highly materialistic yogi goes to Lord Shiva and gets his favor and asks him, I want the most valuable thing. And Lord Shiva tells him, I don't have it, Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, he has it. You go to him. So this bogus yogi, highly materialistic, he goes to Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. And what does he see? He sees that Sanatan Goswami is living like a mendicant. Right? In the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, the description is given. Tyaktva todam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatu chavad bhutvadina ganesha kaukarunaya kopi nakantha shrito. So he is living like a mendicant. He has only a loincloth and a patched quilt. That's all Sanatan Goswami has. So when this yogi goes to Sanatan Goswami and he sees him, he is thinking, what does he possess? Anyways, Lord Shiva has said, let me ask. So he asks Sanatan Goswami that give me the most valuable thing. So Sanatan Goswami says, it is in the garbage outside. So then this yogi, he goes to the garbage and there he sees the Chintamani or the touchstone. Whatever it touches, it turns into gold. So this bogus yogi, he becomes very happy because he gets the fulfillment of his desire. But then he thinks, there is something wrong here. If this is the most valuable thing, then what is it doing in his garbage? That means he has something which is more valuable than this. Let me ask him what it is. So this yogi, he goes to Sanatan Goswami and asks Sanatan Goswami, so you have something more valuable than this? And Sanatan Goswami says, yes, I do have something more valuable. And the yogi says, so I would like to have it. Sanatan Goswami says, first you go and throw this Chintamani in the garbage and do not desire again to possess it. Then you come, then I will give you. So the yogi goes, throws the Chintamani and comes back. And what does Sanatan Goswami give him? He gives him the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we see here that the yogi had to throw away the prospect of material enjoyment and wealth to get the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In a similar fashion, we also have to throw away all the prospects of material desires. This is what even Prahlad Maharaj is praying here. He is actually teaching us how we should pray. And in this particular verse, he is giving us the context of lusty desires, which in their expansion make us or force us to desire for things other than pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he gives different analogies to describe and explain lust and how it covers us. Just like fire is covered by smoke, the mirror is covered by dust, the embryo is covered by the womb, In a similar fashion, lust covers the soul to different degrees. Generally, a person thinks, because he is so overwhelmed by this lusty feeling, he thinks by giving into lust, I will become peaceful. Because this lust is like a fire. A person feels as if, except for giving into temptation, there is no other way. But, as Lord Krishna explains in the Gita again, he says, pouring fuel into the fire is what we do when we give in to material desire. Just like a fire can never be extinguished by putting fuel into it, similarly lust can never be extinguished by actually acting upon the lusty desires. Even in a life of a sadhaka or a transcendentalist, there are innumerable examples of how yogis and saintly people have been deviated by this supreme force of lust. Vishwamitra is falling down because of hearing Menaka's ankle bells. It's a classic example. In fact, in context to this, Lord Krishna also says, Yatatohi api kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabhammana, that the senses are so strong and impetuous that they forcibly carry away the mind of a man of discrimination who is trying to control them. So, you know, we are people who are become under this category of those who are trying to control their senses. But the lust which is seated and deeply rooted within the mind, within the intelligence, is very difficult to overcome. So, we see that it can be categorized that lust affects a sadhaka with respect to this analogy in this way. It is like our mind is like a lake, and just like sometimes below the lake there is some fermentation or there is some activity going on because of which bubbles may arise on the surface of the lake and it may disturb the calm surface. And also if you throw a stone in the lake, so immediately ripples are created and the surface of the lake is disturbed. Similarly, lust also disturbs a sadhaka because of his previous association, lifetimes and lifetimes of giving into lust. And even before taking Krishna consciousness, the desires, they come up again. They are like the bubbles which are coming from below. And sometimes Maya throws an external object right in front, and it is compared to the thrown being stone in the lake, the stone being thrown in the lake. So ripples are created. So there is disturbance in the mind. In this way, lust distracts us internally and externally. Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example of a dog who has got rabies. We find in the Western countries, people have a lot of attraction to keeping dogs as pets. So they give a lot of love and affection to dogs. So Srila Prabhupada gives this example of dog getting rabies. So if a dog has rabies and he is your pet dog, so the doctor will say, keep him away. Because if he comes near you, so what happens? You will be affected. You will contract the disease. So although the dog is trained and he is habituated to always running, coming close to the master, but because now the dog is diseased, it has to be kept away. So the master has to ensure that the dog who has got rabies is kept away from him. The dog will keep coming, but the master has to somehow or other see that he maintains distance from the dog. So this dog is lust, and the doctor is a spiritual master. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we have nicely petted this dog. For so many lifetimes, we have fondled this dog of lust. And, you know, devotees have told us, jnana vijnana nashanam. This lust, it destroys our intelligence. So we have to beat this dog with a stick. which amounts to resisting the temptations which Maya throws upon us. So, when Maya attacks, there are three kinds of responses for three different kinds of people to lust. A materialistic person, when the attack of lust happens, he says, welcome. For a person who is a pure devotee, when lust attacks, he says, go away. For a sadhaka, practicing sadhaka, he has to say, wait. When lust attacks, he says, wait. And he should think, why should I indulge in it? All these lifetimes I have indulged, and have I been happy? Why should I indulge? The example which is given is like an itch. Just like we scratch whenever there is an itch. And the scratching sensation feels very nice temporarily. But you go on scratching, and what happens? It bleeds. It burns. Then we have a tendency to rub our fingers near that area. Because actually you cannot scratch. Because the area has got, it's actually got burnt by scratching continuously. So the more we engage in it, the more we remain agitated. As Srila Prabhupada says, that by giving into lust, it aggravates the symptoms and prolongs the duration. So already we have so much lust in our heart. Now if we engage in it, our mind gets more agitated. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, it destroys one's intelligence. It destroys religion. It destroys truth. It destroys one's mind and senses. It is something like miserable enjoyment. Giving into lust is like miserable enjoyment. It actually puts us in misery. But because there is a feeling of enjoyment, one thinks, wow, this is so nice. Now, battling with this Kaliyuga type of lust is what we are engaged in. And Prahlad Maharaj here, he is talking about the material desire which is arising and which may deviate one from pure devotional service. One very effective measure to battle and combat this lust is actually to read and discuss Srila Prabhupada's books. We find that in our society, as practicing sadhakas, that there is an observed shortage of devotees really engaging in collectively studying, analyzing scientifically Srila Prabhupada's books. And when this is lacking, we see that it is manifested in the terms of lack of proper consciousness even while performing devotional service. So although we might be in the DT doing service, in the DT department, doing puja, doing dressing of the Lord, or we might be doing a simple service like cooking, or we might just be brooming the floor, but the lack of this consciousness of pleasing Krishna is actually not going to be beneficial for us in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Although yes, advancement happens, but it is not as much as it would when one does in knowledge. Therefore, it is mandatory to cultivate a proper consciousness by way of strong sadhana, especially that of reading and analyzing Srila Prabhupada's books. So that really helps us in combating this deadly disease, because it purifies the heart of lust. Also, if we have faith that Krishna, who is expert in dealing with material lust, he can handle our material desires very well, then that can actually provide us a great impetus. Just like Krishna, he handles the case of Kubja. We see in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna, he enters Mathura along with Balram and his cowherd boyfriends. They are all walking on the road of Mathura towards the palace. They are walking. Suddenly, there is on the way, they meet a lady who is hunchbacked, Trivikra. She is bent at three places.
and she is having ointments, sandalwood pulp, chandans, and she is taking it for Kamsa. So Lord Krishna, when he sees those ointments, he asks Kubja, "Oh beautiful one, whom are you taking these ointments for?" So Kubja replies, "This is actually for the king." And Krishna asks, "For those ointments, why don't you give these ointments for us?" And Kubja, she becomes very attracted to Krishna's charming face, his beautiful face and Krishna's personality, which is so charming. And she offers Krishna this chandan. She offers Krishna the sandalwood pulp, the ointments, and starts applying on Krishna's body and also on Balram's body. And with this, both the brothers look extremely beautiful. Krishna, being pleased with this service of Kubja, decides to remove her hunchback. So he presses his toe, his foot, he puts it on her foot, takes two fingers beneath her chin and just pushes her up. By Krishna's mere touch, Kubja, from being hunchbacked, she becomes straight and appears extremely beautiful. And she looks so beautiful, now she herself develops lusty desires towards Krishna and asks Krishna, "You come with me to my home." Now Krishna, he feels very embarrassed. Brother Balram is there, cowherd boyfriends are there, and in front of everyone, Kubja is pulling Krishna's upper cloth, "Come with me." So Krishna, he is, you know, how he deals with this situation. He, first of all, he looks at Balram and the cowherd friends, because he is embarrassed. In the middle of the road, a young girl is asking him to come home. So Krishna, he is telling Balram and the cowherd friends that, looking at them, he is telling Kubja, "Oh beautiful one, certainly you are the shelter for all unmarried men. But right now is not the time. We will see later. But surely I will fulfill your desire." So giving an assurance to Kubja, Krishna moves ahead. In this way, he handles the situation very nicely. Now, after a while, when Krishna sends Uddhava to Vrindavan, and then Uddhava comes back with the message of the Brajavasis, after that Krishna goes, he decides to visit Kubja. So when now he goes with Uddhava, one of the reasons why he takes Uddhava is because Uddhava is beyond suspicion. Everyone knows in Dwarka, everyone knows in Mathura, Uddhava is very saintly personality. Everyone knows he is very special personality. So Krishna purposely takes Uddhava to be beyond suspicion. They enter into Kubja's house and Kubja offers Krishna a seat and Uddhava also. Uddhava doesn't sit, he just touches the seat. He sits down because he thinks, "My level is not that to sit along on the same level with Krishna." So then Krishna sits and Kubja goes inside to decorate herself. And then Krishna, he very boldly walks into the inner chambers of Kubja's house and lies on the bed. Kubja comes there. At this point, even devotees wonder what Krishna does, because it is just like a mundane boy and mundane girl. It seems like a story of lust. So when Kubja comes near Krishna, merely the smell of Krishna's lotus feet, her lust gets burnt away. Kubja, who is burning with lust, she becomes pacified just by the smell of the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet. And she embraces Krishna, but as a liberated soul. She is already liberated. And she is embracing Krishna. And then she asks Krishna, please stay with me for some more time. A few more days. And Krishna says, later. In this way, he expertly removes Kubja's material lust and transforms it into spiritual love. So this is how Krishna works. He is very expert in handling material lust. In fact, we see there was another great saint, but who had a very colorful past. His name was Bilva Mangal Thakur. Bilva Mangal Thakur was, although born in a Brahmin family, he actually stayed on the eastern bank of the river Krishna Vena in South India. But he had an illicit affair with a musician and harlot, a prostitute named Chintamani, who used to live on the opposite bank of the river. And Bilva Mangal Thakur was completely infatuated by her, to the extent that on the day when his father died, after performing the Shraddha rituals, he wanted to go and enjoy with her. So Bilva Mangal Thakur, it was raining heavily, there was a storm, but nothing could stop Bilva Mangal Thakur. He was burning so much with lust. And so he tried so hard to cross the river, but nobody was there. There was no boatman, there was no boat. Finally he decided he will swim across, because he was desperate to meet Chintamani. Finding nothing available, he actually held on something that was floating and he crossed the river. What it actually was his father's corpse, his father's dead body. But Bilva Mangal Thakur was so blinded by material lust that he could not even understand that it is his father's body that he is using as a support. He reaches the other side of the bank, and only to find that Chintamani's house is bolted from within. The door is locked from within. Bilva Mangal Thakur, he thinks the only way now is to cross, is to climb this wall. So he takes the support of a tree to climb the wall. And finding no other support, he thinks that it's a branch of a tree, and he takes it. And he falls on the other side, on the ground, and he hurts himself. He does not know that actually what he used as a branch was in fact a poisonous snake, the tail of a snake. This is how Bilva Mangal Thakur is so blinded, he is not even able to see the danger of what he is getting into. When he falls on the other side, he is hurt, he is injured. So Chintamani comes, hearing the sound, Chintamani reaches there and sees that Bilva Mangal Thakur is lying there, hurt. She nurses him back to health and then chastises him very, very heavily. She says, "What a great fool you are. Shame on you. Shame on your learning. I know and I am always conscious of my wicked life and my wicked profession. Had you been attached to God the way you loved me, you could actually have been liberated by now. You would have achieved Krishna Prema by now." These words struck the heart of Bilva Mangal Thakur very deeply. And he had a very strong realization. The very next day, Bilva Mangal Thakur left home. He takes sannyas. And he roams about wanting to go to Vrindavan. On the way, it so happens that he develops a desire to enjoy the beautiful wife of a Brahmana, who agrees. But Bilva Mangal Thakur, midway realizing his folly, he asks for the hairpins from that Brahmani and pierces his own eyes with the hairpins, understanding and blaming his own eyes for his lusty situation. he actually pierces his own eyes with the hairpin. Now blinded, Bilvamangal Thakur proceeds on his journey towards Vrindavan. He reaches Vrindavan and he is fully now absorbing himself in chanting and remembering the glories of the Supreme Lord. And there he actually takes darshan of Rajendra Nandan Shyam Sundar. Actually Krishna comes, he takes his hand, Krishna actually leads him around Vrindavan, takes him around Vrindavan, and Bilvamangal Thakur doesn't know. One day, Krishna, he plays his flute, and that time Bilvamangal Thakur actually realizes that this is none other than my Supreme Lord. And then he is crying for the Lord who escapes him. In this mood, Bilvamangal Thakur, he writes beautiful poetry. And one of his book, which was extremely famous, was the Krishna Karna Amrita. Karna Amrita means the nectar for the ears. So Bilvamangal Thakur has written beautiful poetry describing the beauty of the Supreme Lord in this Krishna Karna Amrita. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to relish listening to the Krishna Karna Amrita. There is a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which talks about this. Karnamrita Vidyapati Shri Gita Govinda Iharash Shloka Gita Prabhura Karaya Ananda. That Mahaprabhu, he especially used to like to hear Bilvamangal Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita, Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda and the poetry of Vidyapati. These three works were most favorite of Mahaprabhu. So this, you see, the story of Bilvamangal Thakur, from that of a lusty person to that of a pure devotee who is writing poetry which is released by the Supreme Lord himself. So that is the power of devotional service. So we find in this way some inspiration that actually if there is somebody who can handle our material desires, who can handle our lust, nobody else other than Lord Krishna can do it. Yesterday, in addition to being Rath Yatra, was also the disappearance of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami and Shivananda Sen. So I thought we'll share some aspects of their lives. Shivananda Sen was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was an intimate associate. Actually, he used to organize all the devotees yatra from Navadvip to Puri and back. He used to arrange all the prasadam, the staying facility, all the management used to be done by Shivananda Sen. And he knew all the paths to Orissa. He knew. One day, it so happened that Shivananda Sen, he stayed behind at the ghat to pay the tax and sent all the other devotees ahead. The devotees reached the next spot, but they were hungry because prasadam had not arrived. Seeing this improper management, Nityananda Prabhu got very, very angry at Shivananda Sen. He said, "Where is this rascal Shivananda? Where has he gone? I curse him that he will die and his sons will also die." Nityananda Prabhu is cursing Shivananda in this way. And Shivananda's wife became afraid. She goes to Shivananda Sen saying, "Nityananda Prabhu is very angry. Where is prasadam? You are late and prasadam has not arrived. All the devotees are hungry. They are waiting." Shivananda Sen says, "Don't worry. Everything will be okay." He goes to Nityananda Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu severely chastises him. He says, "You rascal, all the devotees are waiting. They have not taken prasadam. What are you doing?" And he kicks him. Nityananda Prabhu, he kicks Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen, he is actually showing us how we should take Nityananda Prabhu's kick. He says, "Today, because you have accepted me as your servant, and you have punished me fittingly, according to my offense, you have actually given me great mercy." He is saying that the dust of your lotus feet is very difficult to obtain for Lord Brahma also. But I have been so fortunate that a low wretch like me has got the opportunity to take these feet on my body. Today my birth and the heritage of my forefathers has become successful. I have received devotion to Krishna today. And I have risen above dharma, artha, kama and moksha by getting Nityanand Prabhu's kick. So this is Sivananda Sen. In fact, he had so much compassion that even a stray dog used to join in the parikrama party while going from Navadvip to Puri. He used to take the dog also. One such dog, he went missing. So Sivananda Sen sent 200 devotees to search for that dog. And he saw the dog near Mahaprabhu when they reached. And he saw the dog taking Mahaprabhu's remnants. And then after a while, Sivananda did not see the dog. And he understood that the dog got liberation. He took Mahaprabhu's mercy, he got liberation. So such was the character of Sivananda Sen. Also was the disappearance day of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami was the secretary of Sriman Mahaprabhu. He was his eternal associate of Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu exhibited his pastime of taking sannyas, Swarup Damodar, he became a madman. He also went to Varanasi and took sannyas. And his sannyas guru was named Chaitanya Anand. And his guru told him, now you have taken sannyas, you should study Vedanta. And Swarup Damodar, he just gave up his shikha and Brahmin thread while taking sannyas. But he did not take sannyas clothes. And he retained his brahmachari name, which was Swarup. Swarup Damodar, his scholarship was great. Everybody thought that he was unparalleled, unbeatable like Brihaspati in knowledge. And he was extremely dear to Advaita Acharya and Nityanand Prabhu. He was like a second Mahaprabhu. Anybody wanting to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to, first they had to go through Swarup Damodar. Anybody wants to discuss a philosophical point with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first it is Swarup Damodar who used to approve of it. Anybody who wants to recite their composition in front of Mahaprabhu, first Swarup Damodar used to check that. Only after he passes it, then it was allowed to go ahead. When Swarup Damodar actually met Mahaprabhu in Puri, it was after a long time, there was a long gap. Mahaprabhu told him that I saw in a dream that you had come today morning. So just like a blind man finds unlimited happiness in getting eyesight, similarly I am feeling by getting your association. And Swarup Damodar, he says that please forgive me because I made a big mistake by leaving you and running away to Varanasi. I do not have even a little attachment to your lotus feet. And I have become a great sinner by going to a distant country. I gave up your association, but you did not give me up. Binding the rope of mercy around my neck, you again brought me to your lotus feet. Hearing these words that Swarup Damodar spoke in such humility, Mahaprabhu embraced him. And he said, Krishna is very kind. He has mercifully brought us together again. Mahaprabhu kept Swarup Damodar very close to him. When Mahaprabhu became immersed in a particular emotion, Swarup Damodar used to sing kirtan in that mood. He used to chant. He would perform a kirtan in that particular mood. And in that period in Puri, even Ramananda Rai, he arrived. And both of them singing different songs and reciting various poetic verses, they would enhance the ecstatic mood of Sriman Mahaprabhu. During the day, he would engage in pastime of Sankirtan with his devotees, and in the night, he would taste the mellows of ecstatic love of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the company of Sarup Damodar and Ramanand Rai. Just like Lalita and Vishakha were very intimate with Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they were especially with Srimati Radharani. Ramanand Rai and Sarup Damodar, who were none other than Vishakha and Lalita Sakhi, they were very intimate with Sriman Mahaprabhu. Later on, Mahaprabhu instructs Sarup Damodar to take care of Raghunath Das Goswami. So this was about the few glimpses of the life of Srila Sarup Damodar and also of Shivananda Sen. So we end here. Any questions or comments? Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.